888-8889.
The Sheridan Farmers Market is back for another great season at Whitney Commons Park. You'll find local produce, meat, eggs, coffee, baked goods, and outstanding locally handcrafted items this Thursday and every Thursday from 5 to 7 p.m. through September 18th. See the best our hardworking local producers have to offer at the Sheridan Farmers Market, Thursday evenings in Whitney Commons Park, sponsored in part by Sheridan Media. And remember, please leave your pets at home.
Looking for an investment with staying power? Synergy Shop Aminiums in Sheridan is the smart choice for stable, long-term returns. Own your own commercial space, lease it, grow a business, or resell for profit. With high demand and limited availability, these Shop Aminiums are smart money. Built to last, designed to earn. Don't miss your chance to own real property with real potential. Contact Sheridan Realty Associates and ask about Synergy Shop Aminiums and invest smart.
Did you know that you can save money and help our 4-H and FFA youth by purchasing at your local county fair livestock sale? Hi, this is Bentley Malone with Lucky 7 4-H Club. If you added up the yearly cost of purchasing meat through the grocery store versus purchasing from a sale, you get a better product, save money, and contribute to your community. Don't want a whole animal? You can split with your friends or neighbors or contact our livestock sale committee and they can help you with your purchase.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Tuesday, July 29th. Almost through the month, and from Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, I'm joined by Habitat for Humanity of the Eastern Bighorns Executive Director, Christine Dietrich, and Development Director, Meredith Sopko. Good morning, ladies, and welcome back.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, Christine, congratulations on becoming the first representative from Wyoming named to Habitat's U.S. Council. We were talking about this just a little bit before we fired up the microphones. What does this appointment mean to you personally and your work here in Sheridan?
Right. Well, thank you, Floyd, for asking the question. The appointment means a lot to me personally. I do believe that it's affirmation for my commitment to the work that we are doing and to Habitat over my tenure as executive director of the affiliate. And then I do also believe that it's validating all of the accomplishments that we've had over that 10-year period and the growth that we've seen. Our big visions that we have put into action to expand our impact has been recognized. It's being seen, which I think is a big deal for being a small town on the map. Across the nation to be recognized and validated in that way and chosen to have my perspective and an opinion brought to the table on the national level.
How many Habitat affiliates are in the state?
Oh, there are over 800 Habitat affiliates in the nation.
In the nation.
Mm-hmm.
What about Wyoming itself?
In Wyoming, there are six.
Six of us.
Yes.
So where are those located?
Oh, my goodness.
I know. I'm kind of putting you on the spot here.
Yes, but you absolutely are. Casper, Cheyenne, Cody, Jackson.
What Jackson has that name?
Wind River and then us.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And out of all of those places with all those directors, they saw you.
Right.
That's incredible.
It is.
I mean, it is an accomplishment, Christine.
It is.
Now, you've been serving on both the advocacy and policy committees, right?
Yes.
What kinds of national level priorities or policies are you most excited to actually influence on that? Have you sat with this for a while and thought, you know, this is where I would like to see things go?
Right. I'm still learning a lot about what my role will be and what each committee is working on at the moment. There are several policies that dictate the work of Habitat nationwide. And of course, you can't be working on all 34 in 1 year. So I know that there are different priorities, which I'm still trying to get a grasp on. I am excited to work on both committees. I'm excited to work on the advocacy committee because that conversation's constantly changing as federal priorities change and just the dynamic of housing changes nationwide and then in our local community, because that's exactly what I'm there to do, is to bring that perspective from the local level up the chain to the national level and help influence that. So I'm excited to see what that looks like. I'm excited on the policy level because that really drives the work that you do. And when you're looking at the different layers of Habitat affiliates nationwide, you have small affiliates, which is what we are called. We have a population of less than 50,000. And then you have your extra large affiliates who are operating in communities that there are millions of people living in, but you're all dictated by the same policies. And so... sometimes that doesn't work for our rural communities when you have rules that are better fit for a higher population. And so I'm really looking forward to giving my perspective and my experience for how that has impacted the work we do and how that can be given into consideration when drafting these policies, is what is the true scope and impact for smaller affiliates too, because the work that we're doing is just as important. And actually we're faced with even more challenges due to our geographic area, our lack of resources, perhaps our lack of funding or opportunities that maybe another larger city may have, and hopefully being able to better serve smaller affiliates so that they don't disappear off the map. We've seen even in Wyoming habitats closing their doors. The Gillette habitat closed down. The Buffalo habitat closed down, which is why we then made a move to expand our services to Buffalo. And it's not unique to Wyoming. There are smaller habitats that are shutting their doors across the nation. It's not a big influx of habitats, but we're faced with very unique challenges. So my work on the committees, I do believe, is important. And my perspective coming from a smaller community is going to be important.
I really like how you put that perspective in front of us, too. I think we tend to kind of lump it all into one group. And I understand where they're coming from if they say, we're going to write this policy, and what fits the highest populated areas is going to take priority. But at the same time... is it funding that's really hurting these small rural habitats that are out there?
It's really a lot of different aspects that are impacting smaller affiliates' ability to keep doing the work that they do. Funding absolutely is a piece of it. There are also certain areas that create barriers as well. We've been very fortunate to be very policy-minded and try to follow policy as much as possible and tweak it to our community. But there are things such as requiring to have an OSHA-certified staff member on board, or required to have a mortgage loan originator on staff, that may be difficult for smaller affiliates to do who are all volunteer-led. There are still Habitat for Humanities that are all volunteer-led in the country. So when you have those extra layers of, you can only be in good standing if you have XYZ requirements of your staff, but you're operating with volunteers, that's when you can't make it anymore. You're not being in good standing, and you have to make those hard decisions on, are we still legally able to operate? And it's all well-intentioned from international. They have a brand to protect. We're doing really good work. We've been able to expand impact globally. It's all because they have looked at these policies and procedures and made the decisions based on the input that they have had to better serve habitats. But that's also where I feel like we need more of a voice from the smaller affiliates to bring those challenges to light. And perhaps a one policy fits all is not the best way to do it. Perhaps there's different layers of policies depending on the size of affiliate to help them still be able to operate, keep their doors open, and keep building homes.
Christine, you and I don't know each other real well. We've been talking for about 5 years now. You kind of come off as an individual who gets things done. So when you took over Habitat for the Eastern Bighorns here, those policies that you were able to tweak, how far in your lane did you kind of push that border over a little bit to get things done? And I'm not saying you did anything wrong or anything immoral, but you do have challenges in front of you that someone else may not understand. And so not going outside of guidelines, but as you said, tweak it for our area. How far have you taken that?
Quite honestly, it's been a live and learn process. It was learning what the policies are. It was implementing them 100% compliant, realizing later that didn't work for us, retweaking it. It did mean that I needed to work very closely with the board.
Yeah.
I'm not the end-all be-all of all of the decisions and strategies and direction for Habitat, but I am very opinionated on where I believe that we need to go. Part of that is based off of just my experience from the program and knowing that we can do better and we should do better, and how can we then do better. So pushing the envelope really has only been as far as making mistakes, to be honest, learning from them, and then retweaking it and readdressing and reviewing all of these policies annually to see if it's still the right fit, because our organization has changed so much too, that our policies, strategies, directions have had to change to adapt to that.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of your experience with Habitat, you are someone who was once a Habitat homeowner yourself. How has that experience actually shaped your perspective and your goals now that you move up to the U.S. Council?
Right. Well, I think it goes back to what I just said as far as knowing that we could do better and that we should do better, having personally been impacted by the program. There were certain aspects of Habitat that I knew we could refine in order to help more homeowners. There were also areas that I thought, you know, we did really well, and that really just changed the trajectory of my life. And just knowing that for me, I wanted other households, other families to have that same opportunity, just knowing how it changed my life, wanting that opportunity for other Habitat partner families. So I think when you go through that too, you're better able to honor someone else's story and someone else's journey and not present yourself as a savior. I'm here to help you, but I'm here to walk alongside you in this new part of your journey and support you. And I cannot wait to celebrate with you at the end of this journey and see where this home takes you. So it's just a different way of looking at it, just from having experienced it.
Do you still remember the moment when you kind of made the decision, not only am I going to be involved in this as a homeowner, I want to be more involved, but I want to help create some very serious changes?
Oh my goodness. Yes, I do remember the moment. I was working at a nonprofit prior to throwing my name in the ring for the position of executive director. And I actually had a board member of the nonprofit that I was working for who saw the job posting and said, "Hey, just knowing that your story as a homeowner, you would be great at this. And you should pursue this." And so really it was her. It was her who motivated me to take that chance. And a million things have happened from then to now, but here I am. So it definitely was a chance worth taking. And she was right. I did know from my experience that I could do this work, that I could add value to this work. And obviously it's been recognized even on the national level, because now I get to provide that to the council.
Now, back here in Sheridan, you've led very transformative projects, such as Western Village. How are your insights into that community development inform a broader strategic decisions on affordable housing nationwide? Which brings me kind of to kind of a side question or a little bit of insight. Was this reinventing the wheel? When you guys did this, did you sit down and say, "We are going from scratch here, guys"? Or is there a model out there in Habitat that you kind of base this off?
Right. It's not a excuse me, it's not a new concept, although it is newer to Habitat affiliates. Community land trusts have been existing for years and years. This was the model that we pulled from in looking at different ways that we could provide housing opportunities to the community. So it's not a new model. It is newer to Habitat affiliates, which is really exciting. But I also think that what we have done with Weston Village sets an example for other habitats, especially habitats who are smaller, such as our affiliate. It shows that we don't have to be limited by our size. Typical smaller habitat affiliates may be all volunteer based. They may have a few staff members. They're typically building 1 to 2 houses a year, which is where we started 10 years ago. But we haven't let our size define who we are and what we can do. We've set our goals really high. And with community support and board support and a great team, we've been able to achieve more and more and more and been able to create bigger visions and have bigger impact.
Now, with your history of civic leadership, from the Wyoming Housing Network to the Chamber and the Rotary, how do those various roles actually strengthen your ability to advocate for housing equity on the national scale? I mean, you've been pretty heavily involved in the community.
Yes, I have. And I think that's important outside of Habitat. Even I think that we all have a duty to give back to others and if we can. And I'm at this place where I can. And there was a point in my life where I needed that help. And now I'm in the position where I can provide it. And so I feel like for me, I have to do this. There's not an should I or I've done enough. I need to do more to help. So my involvement with the Wyoming Housing Network really has given me the knowledge on a statewide level for housing and gotten me outside of the local bubble. My work with Rotary isn't specific to housing. It's service. And I joined Rotary because of that service. I wanted to find other ways that I could give back and help the community. And Rotary's been that avenue where I can do that. And I've forged some really great connections, too. So I've really enjoyed my work with both. I do think that both of them have given me different tools that will help better serve the council.
Now, just so folks know, with this appointment, you're not going anywhere.
No, this isn't a new job or a new position. The U.S. Council is comprised of members at the executive or senior leadership level who are there to give their perspective and experience and knowledge from their affiliates to the national table. So it's not anything where I'm leaving Habitat here. It's just that I'm able to have an impact on a larger scale than what I'm doing now in Sheridan.
Now, before I go to commercial, have you somewhat kind of made your decision about, you know, I'm really going to push for this council to see the perspective of rural communities and habitats that are trying to operate in this?
Well, that's really what my focus will be, is providing that knowledge from a smaller affiliate level. But also, I do want to provide my perspective from the homeowner level, because while that's the overall group that we are serving, I think that Habitat can kind of get stuck in some other areas and forget about why we're there. Mm. And at the end of the day, it's because of the homeowners. And again, it's not we're here to help you, but we're here to walk alongside you. And none of us who have had to ask for help have wanted to be in the position to ask for help.
Yeah.
And so when you have someone who's like, oh, I can fix this for you, you know, I need to fix this for myself. I just need a little extra support to get there. And I think that is something that we need to be more mindful of, the reason why we're here to do this work, and that there are ways that we can honor our homeowners that aren't diminishing the challenges or struggles that they've gone through.
And allows them to hang on to some dignity.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. A hand up instead of a handout.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
All right. On that, we're speaking, we're going to be talking about this year's Women's Build when we return. I got more with Habitat for Humanity right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
You're on the go, and so should your banking.
At First Federal Bank and Trust, you can open personal checking and savings accounts anytime, online or on the First Federal app.
It's banking on your time wherever you are.
Plus, we're celebrating 90 years of community commitment, proudly serving Sheridan and the people who make it great.
Banking made easy with the community at heart.
Visit efirstfederal.bank to get started today. First Federal Bank and Trust, 90 years strong, member FDIC.
Cowboy football fans, season tickets are on sale now for the 2025 season. With a home schedule featuring matchups against the Utah Utes and the Colorado State Rams, you won't want to miss any of the action as the Cowboys return to War Memorial Stadium this fall. Get your season tickets today at gowild.com/tickets or by calling the Athletic Ticket Office at 307-766-7220. We can't wait to see you this fall. And go Pokes!
Up where the air is thin and the pines whisper secrets, there's a place called Spiro Wigwam, 30 miles up the Red Grade, at 8,300 feet in the heart of the Bighorns, where the trail calls to those with a cowboy soul. Saddle up for half-day or all-day guided horseback rides. Perfect for families, first-timers, even the seasoned cowhand. So experience the way the West was meant to be. Horseback. Call Spiro Wigwam or go online at SpiroWigwam.com to come ride where the trails touch the sky.
Hey, you in the pink and blue bass boat, show me your bass.
What? You expect me to just show my bass to a stranger on the lake?
Why, ain't no stranger. I done seen you out here fishing all the time. That makes us boat buddies.
Well, since you put it that way, here, get a load of my epic bass.
Ooh-ee, girl, that's the most picture-perfect bass I ever seen.
Did you just take a photo of my bass?
Well, yeah, I want to submit it to the Fish Your Bass Off photo contest at ChairMedia.com. I'm sure to win.
Is that the one where you can submit photos on the contest page now through Labor Day and win $300 from Connect Home Center and $300 from Century 21 BHJ Realty?
That's the one.
Then snap away, but get my good side.
Well, girl, there ain't no bad side.
The following message is presented by Century21BHJ.com.
The Food Group and YMCA have partnered for Neighborhood Pop-Up Camp every Wednesday from 4:30 to 5:30 in North Heights Park. Come play with the YMCA and the Food Group. Enjoy some fun treats, games, and get prizes. All you have to do is just show up and have fun. As always with the Food Group, these activities are open and free to all kids in Sheridan County.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm Floyd Whiting. This morning we're speaking with the Habitat for Humanity of the Eastern Bighorns Executive Director, Christine Dietrich, and Development Director, Meredith Sopko. All right, folks, this year's Women's Build, I know you've been looking forward to it, and it is coming up quickly. Can you give us an overview of what participants can expect August 5th through the 9th?
Absolutely. Well, first and foremost, they can expect to have a lot of fun. I have participated in Habitat Build Days in the past prior to working for them, and Build Days are, they're fun. You feel good about what you're doing. You're interacting with people that maybe you wouldn't necessarily interact with, and they're just fun. I can remember days they told me, you're going to hang drywall, and I thought, I don't know how to hang drywall.
How am I going to do that?
Do you really want me to hang drywall in a house that people are going to live in? But I did. And I'm proud to say that house is still standing. So you can expect a lot of fun. You can expect to learn some new things. You don't have to have any construction experience. We have a great construction crew who will get you doing work that you're comfortable doing. And it's just a great day. And again, it's not just for women. Like, our Women's Build is about empowering women and that, but we would love to have women and men come. So it's a fun day, fun days. They're all fun days, and you feel good about the work you're doing.
And I you know, that's something that we talk about every year. The guys are included too here.
Absolutely.
So don't be afraid, guys, to get out there, throw that pink shirt on and help out. You know, Habitat has hosted the Women's Build for several years now. What's the biggest change or evolution that you've seen in this event since you started? And I was thinking back on this, and I thought, you know what? Probably the extension of days.
Right. It really has changed a lot, and that would be one of them. There's two big changes that have occurred with Women Build over the years. One, it used to be one day of building where we would host 100 women. Now, if you can imagine 100 women for one day of building, it's a little chaotic. You may not get a lot of work done, and we may lose a construction supervisor. So
there's somewhere around here.
It actually changed around COVID because we were forced to rethink the structure of the build and separate people. And so that's when we hosted it over the course of a week. And then we limited it to 10 participants per shift, where we could still have 100 women participate, but it was spread over in smaller groups. After that year, our construction supervisor said, that was great. Much more manageable, much more value for the participants because they could get work done.
Yeah.
There was more work for them to do and more intentionality behind it. So that was the biggest change. The other change is this event did not used to be a fundraiser. This was an event that cost us money, which was worth it because we want to provide that experience, but it wasn't a fundraiser event. And so that has changed. So this is, I believe it's the fifth year that we've hosted this event as a fundraiser event where we encourage sponsors, we encourage businesses to sponsor teams, and then we encourage the participants themselves to either donate or raise $100 each with the goal of raising $10,000 so that it's a build and fundraiser event. And that model has been really successful for other habitats nationwide. Women Build is a national event. However, again, when you talk about rural perspective, the National Women Build event is in March. Well, March in Wyoming is not really conducive to building. So we
not
do
ideal.
We do our own thing, but it's based on the same model. It's the same mission. We just kind of do our own thing here in Wyoming. So those are the two biggest changes. It's a fundraiser event now, and it's spread out over the course of the week.
And I could totally understand that. Having 100 individuals, and it doesn't matter who they are, it doesn't matter what gender they are, show up and say, we have no idea what we're doing, and you're the one that's going to be putting a hammer in our hand. That in itself is 2 hours of just getting people assigned to a duty. Oh,
absolutely. Yep.
And that's a handful. I can totally understand that. So in a way, you know, some positives did come out of that horrible event that kind of made everything with the name that shall not be named that occurred. But it really did work out. And I think that's fantastic. A lot more work could probably truly get done.
Absolutely. And I think it also gives really good representation for the businesses that are involved now, too, because we can say specifically First Northern will be here for the morning shift on Friday, and Yark will be here for the Thursday afternoon shift. And I don't know that that's right. I'm just spitting that out there.
Right.
But more recognition for the businesses and participants, too.
Now, when it comes to the Women's Build, you end up getting a lot more volunteers throughout the year because of this. I mean, someone goes out there, they experience this one day, and they're like, you know what? I can do this. The confidence is up. The experience of being out there and helping somebody, it feels great. You feel like you've contributed. And then all of a sudden, I would just expect for the next couple months, you've got individuals raising their hand.
Mm-hmm. Right. Last year, we had two Women Build participants who became regular individual volunteers. Every Wednesday, they were out on the job site. And that was great. I'd love to see that continue.
Yeah. Meredith, you were talking about this a little bit with the drywall, but the Women Build is much more than just raising money. That wasn't even its original intent. What does it look like for volunteers who show up with little or no construction experience?
Yeah, it's, you know, as we know, building a house can be anything from, you know, putting up drywall to painting to installing siding, putting in sod. So there's all kinds of jobs that will be available. So if you have no experience or you don't feel comfortable using power tools or whatever that is, there is something for everyone to do and something for them to do and feel good and safe about the work they're doing.
Mm-hmm. And just get that good hard day's work in.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I'm running out of time with you, so I got to be choosy about what I ask next. Let's just talk about how I can get involved and how I can get sponsors. How do I do that?
Absolutely. You can visit our website, which is SheridanHabitat.org. You can call us at 672-3848, and we will absolutely give you all the information you need to get involved. We have a fun kickoff event happening at Luminous on Monday evening. Stop by there if you'd like and sign up. You can even show up at the build site, and we'll, you know, on next week, and we'll get you signed up. We'll take your money. We'll do whatever's needed.
Okay. So. Now, are there any prerequisites whatsoever that I need? I'm sure someone out there is listening, driving to work, and they're going, you know what? I would love to be involved in this, but do I need anything beforehand?
Nope. You really don't.
There
we can
you go.
We can handle it all right there on the spot.
Fantastic. All right. Now, where can we go to learn more if I wanted to peek in a little bit?
So just visit our website at SheridanHabitat.org, and it's right there on the front page.
All right. Ladies, I want to thank you so much for jumping on the show with me this morning. Christine, thank you for your candor and answering my questions. I kind of bombarded you a little bit in the first half. But, you know, this is important work, and I think everybody in Sheridan is very, very proud right now that it's one of our own heading up there to represent not just us, but rural communities throughout the country that kind of deal with things from a different angle.
Her team at Habitat is very proud of her.
And they've got...
Well, thank you both.
They've got every reason to be. All right, when we come back, we're going to speak with Forge Makerspace. Stay with us. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to CHAPS Equine Assisted Therapy.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit eFirstFederal.bank, member FDIC.
On August 2nd, the Bighorn Mountain Snowmads All Season Recreation is having a poker ride followed by a silent auction fundraiser. Poker ride starts at 10 a.m. at Bear Lodge Resort. $5 per hand, multiple hands allowed, 100% payback plus added prizes. The silent auction fundraiser will be held at Elk View Inn after the poker ride. The money is used to help fund scholarships, Wyoming Cares, Red Grade Safety Shelter, and efforts working to protect public access. The event is open to the public. August 2nd, 10 a.m., Bear Lodge Resort.
This is the Captain with Captain Clean. Are you noticing unnecessary dust in your home? If so, your ductwork may be telling you it's time for a cleaning. HVAC and furnace cleaning will undoubtedly optimize your furnace's performance and keep your indoor air quality free of unnecessary dust and allergens. If you like clean air and lower energy bills, call our experts at Captain Clean today and schedule your next HVAC cleaning. Captain Clean, affordable choices for healthy living.
Wild Rodeo Hangover got you feeling down? Well, come to the Sheridan County Fair July 26th through August 3rd. We'll have Christmas in July, mutton busting with some junior bull riders, and check out all the great static exhibits as the exhibit hall will stay open later. Get entered into the open class exhibits this year. Great premiums to those who come away with the blue ribbon. Check out SheridanCountyFairgrounds.com for details and times.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For our second part this morning, I'm joined by Clint Stussy, Board President, and Sam Nices, Shop Manager at Forge Makerspace. Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
Now, Clint, for those who may not know, what is Forge Makerspace?
Well, it's a good question. A makerspace is a nonprofit collection or group of people that like to make things. So we pool our resources, and then we ended up getting grants, and it's a place where the public can go whenever they can't afford nice, big, huge equipment to be able to make things, but they all like making things. So we get together and we make things. So we managed to get some grants through the college and the Wyoming Innovative Partnership Program, the WIP program, and managed to get some really nice equipment in there. So that's what it is. It's a collection of people that like to make things or like to create either artistic stuff or practical stuff or anything like that. We have everything from laser cutters, engravers, 3D printers, got lots of those, several different types, variations, sizes, capabilities. We also have a fully functional wood shop in there with a real nice saw stop table saw. So it'll sense your finger if you get too close and it'll stop the blade. So it's supposed to protect you from getting seriously injured on a table saw. We have a router table, thickness planer, band saw, really nice South Bend wood turning lathe. That's really nice. We also have machine shop stuff as well. We have a really nice Precision Matthews 1440 precision machinist lathe. We also have a CNC mill, Haas mini mill in there. We have fabrication tables, welding tables, CNC plasma cutters, water jet, all of that stuff. So we could make nearly anything that you could think of.
That's incredible. That's incredible. Mm-hmm. Sam, as shop manager, you're in there quite a bit, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
You see a lot of folks come through there?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. At least 2 to 3 people interested in the space who had never been there before a day. And wow. Then we'll have our recurring members. We have our regulars. Some guys are in there every day. And, you know, it's quite fun seeing, like, the different projects that people bring in. And, like, we had one gentleman, Jerry Spearing from Buffalo. He had these plaster of Paris light plate switches that he couldn't find replicas of. So we ended up taking our 3D scanner, scanning it, and then we took a digital model, and then we were printing him, and now he's making molds to make more.
That's incredible. So now he's producing everything to replace it in his house.
Absolutely.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. I think the last time you were on Clean, mm-hmm. you and I talked about an individual here in town who couldn't find, it was a plastic piece for his hot tub or something like that. And he managed to get it 3D printed right there.
Well, I don't remember one about a specific hot tub, but I've used that process numerous times for a lot of different things. I've used 3D printing for specialty grommets that I can't seem to find or gaskets that I can't seem to find with TPU or parts in my garage. You know, I've made and designed all sorts of stuff using free, you know, CAD software. And we even do some classes to teach people if they're interested in CAD work. I've done, you know, intro to Onshape classes for our members. We do intro to 3D printing classes or more advanced classes. So yeah, if you're interested in making something but don't know how, we could get you the information that you need to learn how to do it and make it yourself. I've got all sorts of stuff that I've made out in the garage that it's either too expensive to buy or I think that I could make it a little better or specialty for just my particular case, and yeah, it works great.
Incredible practical application. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, some farm guys out there might think, well, what am I going to do with the makerspace? And then all mm-hmm. of a sudden they're like, holy cow, mm-hmm. I need one of these and I can't get it found. I can go to the guys up at Forge Makerspace and they can help me out. We can just make one right then and there. And I think that's pretty incredible. Now, recently, you expanded the shop. Now, when I say recently, I say within what, the last year?
It's been about a year and a half since we moved into this new space and was able to expand. But what we call the dirty side wasn't fully open yet. We didn't have the electrical in place to support all the equipment that we had. And we finally got that taken care of with Sam's help this year. And some guy donating some time, being able to come in and hook us up with the electrical stuff. That was really nice. And so now we have the electrical in place that all of the tools are now up and running, and it's great seeing what all we can do there now. So now we have the clean side, which is what we call for the 3D printing and the classes and the computer work, and then the dirty side, which is like the woodworking and machine working stuff and the laser cutting, or not the laser cutting, but the plasma cutting and water jet is on the dirty side. So now we have both sides open.
Is that kind of the expansion of the metal shop?
Yeah.
That we're talking about mm-hmm. here. I think the last time you and I spoke, that wasn't up and running just yet.
No, not yet. But
now we are going.
Yep, now we're cooking.
Full bore. Mm-hmm. Sam, you get a lot of folks in there working fabrication on their motorcycle or anything like that yet?
Definitely have lots of members coming up with projects that they want to do.
Yeah.
Currently, I'm installing the airlines for the supply shop or air to the entire shop. But what I have folks do is they can either give me like a print or an idea, and then we'll work through like how to machine it on the lathe, or like there's another gentleman who is like really excited about machining some stuff on the Haas mini mill, and I've encouraged him to like go through the camming process on a Fusion 360, and then helping him work through like the most efficient way, like, okay, you know, save your material here. What size bits are you going to use? What's the thickness of material you're going to use? Like, where are you finding your speeds and feeds? So currently not too many people making stuff on the other side, but post grand opening, everybody's going to be over there. So
absolutely.
Right. Which does bring us into something that we wanted to make sure that we did talk about today, is our grand reopening on August 23rd. We're having a free day, which is going to coincide with what we're calling Denny Day. We had a founder, like one of the originals that founded Forge Makerspace, Denny Grissom, and he passed away in 21, unfortunately. So we're sort of having a remembrance day for him that day, as well as a re-grand opening. So for that day, we're going to have free access to the public, to the space. You can come in, check it out, learn how to use some of the tools. We're going to have like a bounce house there. We're going to try to get a live band there. We're also in the evening, starting at, what time is that? 4 p.m. We're going to have free food. We're going to have like a taco bar there. So you can come and get some free food, check out the space, learn what it's for, what you can do with it, try out some stuff. And we're going to have this sort of a recurring annual thing.
So this is going to be an annual party
to
invite folks into the Forge Makerspace.
Yeah, but this year is going to be a re-grand opening to celebrate the opening of our dirty side and all of our equipment becoming up and running.
Now, Sam, in your role as managing the shop, what actually excites you the most about the new equipment and how it actually supports these folks who are walking in with every skill level imaginable?
It's really exciting, you know. As one person, I can only come up with so many ideas, but then when the entire community comes in with things, it's an opportunity for me to learn and for them to learn. And, you know, there's a huge bar to entry for this type of equipment. You know, it's very expensive, and there's hardly anybody could afford all of it. And just having the opportunity to, for folks in the community to come in and do something that they've always wanted to do, or like just solve a problem that's always been egging at him. You know, we have a gentleman who's like trying to invent the world's first top hat reverse thing. And, you know, it came in with this really goofy mechanism, and great guy. And, you know, we worked through it. And over 4 hours of him and I together, he said he got farther than he did in 2 months.
That's amazing.
So that's really amazing. Cool.
Now, Clint, as board president, how have you seen Forge really evolve since its founding? And on that, how does this new shop space actually fit into the overall mission?
Well, believe it or not, I'm kind of new to this space as far as Forge. I wasn't there whenever it was originally founded. I've only been part of Forge for about a year and a half, and only board president for a little over a year now, I guess. But it's changed a ton.
Yeah.
It is really blossomed and expanded and grown, especially over the last, you know, probably 8 months. It's really taken on a life of its own, and I'm so thrilled to see the potential of this place, which is what I saw whenever I first went there and became just a member, that it had great potential to do amazing stuff for the community. It just needed a little help. So fortunately, they elected me president, and I was able to help guide that, I think, a little bit. And it's really coming into its own, thanks to Penny, our executive director, and Sam, our shop manager, and the other board members. We've really expanded what we can offer and how many people are getting there a lot. And it's running so smooth right now. It's great seeing all the different stuff with her summer classes for her STEM stuff, working through the YMCA, the summer classes that she has through there. The homeschool community is getting really big and bringing in her kids there all the time, doing classes there for homeschooling. It's amazing every time I walk in there and seeing it's just full of people. It makes me so happy.
And then the look on Penny's face when I was talking to her the last time she was in here, She was really looking forward to having those kids come in mm-hmm. for those camps.
Yeah, she loves
and
that.
Working on that STEM. And I think Forge Makerspace is so, it just encompasses so much. The individual who wants to make this or invent that, but then at the same time, it's making things like STEM exciting for kids mm-hmm. to get in there. They want to learn about the math. They want to learn about the 3D printing. Sam, have you seen a lot of the kiddos come through this summer?
Oh, absolutely. You know, they instantly gravitate right towards our display table with all the 3D printed stuff. And then they're asking, you know, how do I make this? Mom, dad, can I make this? And, you know, and that's really fun to see. And there's definitely some kids that I swear are smarter than me. Like we had a kid who was watching me solder. And then he's like, oh, what are you doing? I was like, oh, soldering. And then he's like, did you remember to put the heat shrink wrap on before I did that? I was like, how the heck do you know that? You're like 8 years old.
It's amazing. I mean, yeah. Could you imagine, Clint, in 10 years, these kids will have grown up with Forge Makerspace.
Right, and it's going to be amazing because the possibilities are endless. You know, I've always kind of had the idea for Forge having a motto like dream, learn, build. You know, have a dream of making something, learn how to do it, and then join us and build it with the tools that we provide for the community. So that's something that's really awesome. And I'm really excited to see what the future holds for Forge.
Absolutely. You know, these kids, Sam, you're going to watch them grow up year after year. Because I think it's one of those situations, once you realize what you can do in that space, and then you start to feel comfortable with all the tools, holy cow. Just jump out of the way. The
possibilities
imagination.
Are endless, yeah.
You could go crazy.
Yeah, start making little toys and trinkets with 3D printing and move on to more practical stuff. Like, oh, you know, I kind of always wanted that. Let me learn how to design it. Okay, there's a class. Cool. Now, look, I could design that. Well, now with that knowledge, I could design and print this. I could design and print that. Oh, wow, maybe I can make that and sell it. Yeah, that's an idea. So that's sort of a thing, too, is we provide prototyping service, you know, helping people learn how to do prototypes in the space. We won't do mass manufacturing for them. But we, with the stuff that we provide, they can learn how to do prototypes and then take it to market if they want. That's another option that we do for people.
That's absolutely fantastic. And, I mean, any service from the cosplayer mm-hmm. all the way up to the farmer mm-hmm. who is just looking to replace this little item for the tractor or something.
Or bushing that they can't seem to find. They can come in and learn how to turn it on the lathe.
And everything in between. Now, you were talking about, you know, hey, I could learn. That's because you guys offer classes, don't mm-hmm. you, on how to operate this equipment.
Yes.
So it removes the mystery of it all, and you can work at it proficiently.
Yes.
How often are those given?
On a regular basis. A lot of it depends on what somebody's wanting to learn. And like in the past, I would set up a sign-up sheet, and once I got like 8 or 10 people on a sign-up sheet, I'd go ahead and hold the class. I don't want to. Try not to do it for just ones and twos. It's a lot of work just for one or two people, but there's more and more members all the time. So I'll probably end up holding more classes for the stuff that I teach. And then Sam, he does a lot of one-on-one training with them. And we're offering we're setting up on our website a program to where they can go online and watch a bunch of video courses and take written exams on the different tools and equipment. So if we can't get to them right away, there is some stuff that they could learn on their own, and that's in progress right now.
Oh, fun. Mm-hmm. Sam, how has it been over the, I'd say probably the last 6 months, really watching folks kind of come through the door and then more folks? Is the place kind of coming alive?
Oh, absolutely. It's, you know, to be honest, the first month Penny and I were there, it was very quiet. You know, hardly anybody came in, nobody knew, and Penny and I were both trying to figure out exactly how to get some life into the space. But now, absolutely, there's some weeks where I spend all of my time helping members, and versus beforehand it was just getting the shop going. But you know, everyone is more and more excited. I get a wider plethora of ideas, and like, you know, not just strictly 3D printing, like, you know, individuals wanting to machine things, individuals wanting to make things out of wood. It was really cool. Another member, Tim, and I built this huge What's Your Wingspan sign for the land trust. And like just seeing that being made in the space, it's like, oh, you can make whatever. And it came out gorgeous. It looks like it belongs in Yellowstone. And like we had, you know, 6 different birds all cut out and nice stained pylons and everything. And yeah, I enjoy seeing all of that about it.
So. Seeing things in the community that were made in this space.
Mm-hmm.
That's something to be proud of. Absolutely. Clint, for those who want to join you, the big grand opening, could you tell us where and when to be one more time?
Sure. For the big grand opening, re-grand opening, it's going to be August 23rd. Doors are going to open at 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. We're going to offer free tours, activities. There's going to be free food starting at 4 to 7. There's going to be door prizes. You could win stuff like free rolls of filament and maybe even a couple of other things. So that way, if you do want to come in there and make something, we could help get you started with something. But yeah, it's going to be really exciting. We're hoping to have some live music. We're going to have a bounce house. We're going to see if we can't get a permit to shut down the street and have sort of, you know, a big event out there. It's going to be a really big event mixed in with Denny, the Denny Day Remembrance. And yeah, we're hoping to make this an annual thing with a free day so the public can come in and see what we're all about and try stuff out and then and join.
You know, until then, if I wanted to visit a website or something to learn more, where do I have to go?
What is it? ForgeMakerspace.com.
All right. Too easy. Guys, thanks for coming in this morning. I always love having Forge in here.
Well, we appreciate it. We enjoy talking with you.
I look forward to seeing Penny again and asking her about those classes because she lit up talking about everything that she was going to teach those kids. Thanks, guys. Yep.
Thank you.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Need a bank that works on your schedule?
At First Federal Bank and Trust, you can open personal checking and savings accounts anytime, online or through the First Federal app.
It's quick, simple, and designed to fit your life.
And as we celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're proud to keep making banking easier for you. Open an account today at efirstfederal.bank or on the app.
First Federal Bank and Trust, 90 years of putting our community first.
Member FDIC.
Get ready, Sheridan. Crazy Days Silly Socks is coming July 31st through August 2nd.
Downtown businesses are rolling out their best deals of the summer with indoor and outdoor sales you won't want to miss.
It's 3 days of unbeatable bargains, sidewalk specials, and big savings from your favorite local shops.
This year's theme, Silly Socks. Wear your freshest pair and join the fun while you shop.
Crazy Days, July 31st through August 2nd in downtown Sheridan.
Shop local, save big, throw some socks on. See you downtown.
The Wyoming State Fair Foundation invites you to a fun-filled, dancing-in-the-dirt good time with Mickey and the Motorcars and special guests Tris Munsick and the Innocents. In concert, Friday, August 15th at 7 p.m. in Douglas, Wyoming. Tickets and details at wystatefair.com. Thank you to Navajo Transitional Energy and Converse County Tourism for your sponsorship.
Are you or a loved one looking for a long-term care opportunity that ensures dignified, fulfilling living in a safe environment staffed by caring and skilled professionals? Greenhouse Living for Sheridan is currently welcoming elders to the cottages located at 2311 Shirley Cove. Set up a visit to learn what sets Greenhouse Living for Sheridan apart, including private rooms, on-site activities, and a sense of community supported by the entire team at Sheridan Memorial Hospital. See SheridanGreenhouse.org today for additional information or to set up an appointment with our care team.
In Buffalo, Wyoming, you don't fall for parking lot promises and handshake hustles from fly-by-night Johnnies who might sell you a lemon and vanish by sundown. At Prime Rate Motors, we've been rooted right here for years, built on trust, not tricks. Locals know if you want real wheels and real deals, you come to the folks who live where they sell. Prime Rate Motors, no gimmicks, no fast talk, just fair deals, solid rides, and folks will still be here tomorrow. 2305 Coffeen Avenue in Sheridan. Prime Rate Motors, Wyoming owned and Wyoming proud.
This is Ed McIntosh with your song requests on Classic Country Sunday. We're live from 8 until